It is 4:16 on a Friday downtown show. The Pulse, WZON. In high definition, WKIT HD3 and around the world at WZONThePulse.com. Continuing to follow the Deflategate case, of course, a hearing earlier this week. Far too much legal mumbo-jumbo for me to figure out. And so we go back to the expert, our source on these matters, attorney and writer Steph Stradley down in Houston. Steph, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
So you wrote a few minutes ago on Twitter that you finally waded through the transcripts from Wednesday, and it's worse than you possibly imagined for the National Football League.
Yeah, the original reports coming out of that hearing did not sound very good for the NFL, and that's not surprising, given that, you know, at least from the leaked reports about what the settlement talks are saying, you know, about how Brady was supposed to admit guilt and so forth, it sounded as though Berman was just really trying to dynamite the NFL off of their settlement position. There's been some recent talk about how they're trying to get others involved with the settlement talk, and it sounds as though it's more trying to get the NFL to kind of back off of their position a little bit more. But when you actually see the transcript, it doesn't just look like they're trying to make the NFL uncomfortable with their position. It almost sounds like that Judge Berman is working with Kessler to figure out how he writes his opinion if he's forced to write an opinion on this. That he's, you know, sorting out the different, you know, basically Jeffrey Kessler puts four different ways that the judge can rule in Brady's favor. And the judge seems to be sorting through those things and trying to figure out what is important, what is not important, and really kind of cutting through some of the NFL's positions that unless you read through all the documents, you might not notice if you were just reading the headlines.
Well, and I read the headlines and a little bit more, but it did seem like Judge Berman was baffled by some of the leaps that the NFL made in their decision-making process.
Yeah, what Judge Berman's allowed to do at this level is really look at some of the process issues. He's not really focusing that much on the facts other than how the facts relate to those process issues. And so even something as fundamental as how do you know he violated anything? The only evidence that you have is that he preferred footballs that were within league, you know, regulations. That's all the evidence that they actually have. And, you know, they make inferences of other things. But, I mean, ultimately, everybody needs to be concerned about this because if you buy into what Brady's saying, there is no possible way that Brady could prove his innocence in the process the way that it's structured. So whether it's Tom Brady or a J.J. Watt or a Peyton Manning or anyone, if there is an investigation process that is impossible to kind of navigate through, then everybody's at risk. And those are some of the concerns that Berman's focusing on as far as the process.
So if this ever actually gets to a trial, it seems like it's going to be more than just Tom Brady and the Patriots, but really a question of how the National Football League has been conducting its business.
Well, this is what's happening right now. Judge Berman has gone far out of his way to encourage settlement, like more than I can think of in any federal court case, like to jump to the front of the line and say, hey, I'm going to look at your issues right this second because it's in both of your interests to get this done, is extremely unusual. I mean, that's the first step. And he has done so many different things to try to encourage a reasonable settlement. But the next step isn't a trial. This is the trial. This is the hearing that they had was the main hearing, and that they're supposed to be meeting again August 31st. And the judge is making it very clear that he's more familiar with the facts. He was much harder on the NFL this last hearing. And he's saying, look, whatever way I rule, it's still in your best interest to fix it between yourselves. And so he's telling them as specifically as he can without just saying, hey, I'm going to rule for you. Which in Bountygate, some of the stuff that came out from that was that that the judge was not very impressed with the NFL's positions. Like, hey, I'm going to find a way to rule against you. You better figure something out here. And in this case, you know, he is really wanting the parties to fashion something between themselves, because whoever loses, there's likely going to be an appeal on the other side, unless, in some ways, Berman structures his finding. It's going to be appealed one way or another. But Berman might structure his findings saying that the problems with the process are so bad that the NFL can't cure them.
We're talking with attorney and writer Stephanie Stradley here on Downtown. So the judge wants to meet with Roger Goodell and Tom Brady again on the 31st if they haven't been able to resolve things by then. Who is under more pressure in the next 10 days, the league, or the union, or Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, the stakes obviously are higher for Brady personally. But in terms of his position, it's pretty much consistent. His position is, hey, I didn't do this. Had you given me better notice, I would have given you the information that you're asking for, but you didn't act like it was a big deal. It was just a kind of a fight between attorneys about what is appropriate discovery. And I maintain my innocence. Now, the NFL's position has been, you have to confess guilt. It sounds like from the settlement that you have to confess guilt in I don't know how many number of suspended games that they're talking about in settlement. And those things are very specific. You know, every day there are injuries in the NFL in preseason. That happens all the time. And, you know, I hate when, you know, the NFL or just in general, the discussion of suspensions is kind of like, you know, candy on a secretary's desk, where they're just kind of, you get a suspension and you get a suspension. But, I mean, tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us, and it isn't certainly guaranteed for anyone's career, and to act as though a game here or a game there is not a big deal is wrong. It's just wrong. And so the stakes for him are high, and it's just a question of whether the NFL's settlement posture becomes more reasonable, because at some point we're either going to have this dragged out for a lot longer, and nobody really wants that unless they prefer listening to legal stuff versus actual football stuff. Or, you know, this is where we are. It's absolutely nonsensical. I cannot think of a dumber case that has had this much money spent on it.
So a worst-case scenario for Tom Brady, if we get to the 31st or even the 4th and the decision is not one that he's pleased with, just in terms of procedures and logistics, if he tries for an injunction, would he do it in that same federal court in New York?
Yeah, I mean, he would basically say that he'd have to have the position that he's likely to win and that he would suffer irreparable harm if he didn't get the injunction. And, you know, if the ruling goes against him, that's a hard standard to meet. I think that in this particular situation, I'm not sure that the law is completely crystal clear on this, because really the NFL hasn't really pushed the envelope on its disciplinary rulings until after the 2011 CBA. You know, the CBA really didn't change that many things, but the way that Roger Goodell has used his power since then has substantially increased. But, yeah, I would think that, yeah, if he loses, he will try to get an injunction. Question of whether he gets the injunction, do not know. And it's unusual at this point where I'm getting queries on what the percentage chance that he plays or doesn't play is, because that's more of an integrity issue than, you know, has a little bit of ball deflation that could be explained by natural causes.
Stephanie, on another matter, before we let you go, Chris, you write about the Texans. Hard Knocks, a great popular show. Has that been a good thing for the Texans so far in preseason?
You know, it's kind of hard to say. I think it's a good thing for fans, and it certainly puts them more on the map nationally. I mean, I think there's some very interesting characters on the team, and it starts with Bill O'Brien. I was told that, you know, he was the best coach for Hard Knocks since Rex Ryan, and nobody can really top Rex in terms of what he says, but O'Brien's really trying, and it's nice for fans to be able to see some of that, because he's pretty smart and funny in settings where most people don't see him. And, you know, it's one thing to see him on the sidelines, you know, yelling at people or whatever. But, you know, to kind of see behind the scenes is fascinating for any team, and particularly for this one.
Well, Stephanie, we appreciate you coming on this afternoon. I will say that I don't think anybody out there has provided more clarity for the nonsense that is Deflategate than you have.
Well, I really appreciate it. Unfortunately, I didn't start out trying to write about law and football stuff. It just kind of evolved. And I just feel bad for fans because they shouldn't have to figure out what's going on with their favorite players.
Absolutely. Steph, thanks as always. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Steph Stradley checking in with us on Deflategate here on Dan Tents.